1973, Carl Menninger, the renowned psychiatrist, wrote a book asking the question, whatever became of sin? In his book, he predicted that there would come a day when sin would no longer become a serious part of the human vocabulary. That instead, society would speculate that we don't really sin. Wrongdoing would be replaced by rationalizations excusing individual behavior. I think it's interesting that I found articles recently in major magazines basically asking whatever happened to sin. Psychology Today had one of those articles. It asked, is morality a thing of the past? In the good old days, people embraced values such as hard work, playing by the rules, and living with honor and integrity. The article asked, do parents still pass those values on to their kids? Do leaders still notice how they're influencing their followers? Or are they too self-absorbed to care? Do successful people still care about how they win, or do they only care that they win? In other words, is morality a thing of the past? Whatever became of sin? Well, God has always called his people to be distinct, as we said in our message recently in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Jesus said, God said, be holy because I am holy. Of course, that's not easy. Somebody has said it's easy to decide what is wrong to wear to a party, such as do I wear deep sea diving gear, clown shoes, or a pair of large pillows? But deciding what is right is much trickier. In an age of moral confusion, deciding what is right is trickier indeed. But Patrick Henry, the great patriot, said, the eternal difference between right and wrong does not fluctuate, it is immutable. Long before that, St. Augustine said, right is right even if no one is doing it. Wrong is wrong even if everybody is doing it. Even if we've done away with the concept of sin, of holiness. What do you believe today? In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 16, God calls us to live and to separate ourselves from sin, but to live distinct lives because he calls us to him. In verse 16, he says, for we are the temple of the living God, as God says, I will dwell and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch any unclean thing, and I will welcome you. And I will be a father to you, and you will be sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty. You know, I want to make it clear that although it's not popular to believe in absolutes, being distinct from the world begins by understanding there are absolutes because we serve a God, because we are created by a God who is absolutely true. 1 John 1:5, the Bible tells us God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. Now let that sink in. In God there is no darkness at all. In other words, God is absolute light. That means he's absolutely good. He's absolutely loving. And that makes him absolutely true. And he reveals his truth to us clearly through his word. And he calls us to live by that truth when he calls us to be separate, to be holy as he is holy. So it is that Jesus could say, I am the way, the truth, and the light. Nobody comes to the Father except through me, because God is absolute perfection in Jesus as well. Again, Jesus would say in John 3:19, this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, but people love darkness rather than the light because their deeds were evil. It is also John who would write those words in his letter, God is light, in him there is no darkness at all. John continues in John 3, verse 20, for everyone who does evil hates the light and avoids it, so that his deeds may not be exposed. But anyone who lives by the truth comes to the light. What has become of sin? The reason the world hates the idea of good and evil, right and wrong, absolute truth. Let's not kid ourselves. It's not because we're advanced. It's because we love the darkness. We get stuck in the darkness, and the light of Christ judges people who love the darkness because their deeds are evil. They don't want to change. But anyone who lives by the truth, as Jesus said, comes into the light. He's saying, don't be yoked together. Don't be closely tied to people who love the darkness and are offended by the light. Come out from among them, because if the closest people, if your closest relationships are people who love the darkness and avoid the light because the light judges them, how difficult that will be for you to live that way, consistently with God, holy to God. Marriage is one of the first applications that God makes for this in the Old Testament. Some of God's first instructions to his people were to be careful about who they marry. Leviticus chapter 7, verse 3, God says, you must not intermarry with them, speaking of the foreigners, idol worshipers, Canaanites. And you must not give your daughters to their sons, or take their daughters for your sons, because they will turn your sons away from me to worship other gods. Then the Lord's anger will burn against you, and instead what you need to do is tear down their altars, smash their sacred pillars, cut down their Asherah poles, and burn their carved images, for you are a holy people belonging to the Lord your God. I love that. It's not about legalistic righteousness. It's about a relationship, a loving relationship, a close relationship to a God who is holy, to a God who is absolute light. So God tells his people in love, don't marry them. Instead, call them to repent. You are holy to me. They are not. If you intermarry with them, they will erode your faith and undermine your allegiance to me. Let's be clear, the work of holiness is the work of God. C.S. Lewis one time said, no man knows how bad he is until he tries to be good. Isn't that true? You want to know how stuck you are in sin? Try to be absolutely perfectly good. You know, I'm pretty good as long as my standard is pretty low. But as soon as you go for perfection, then all of a sudden you understand how impossible it is for us to be holy as God is holy. On the other hand, God changes us as we obey him in simple, clear things. But it's God is the one who changes us. Somebody write, holiness is an extraordinary calling lived out by ordinary people through ordinary means. The traditional means of sanctification include prayer, Bible reading, study, involvement with God's people in the local church, participating in the ordinances of baptism and communion. And so it is that in this passage we read in our message recently, 2 Corinthians 7:1, Paul says, dear friends, since we have these promises to be family of God, let us cleanse ourselves from every impurity of the flesh and spirit and bring holiness to completion in the fear of God. Notice those three words, fear of God. In other words, right attitude toward God. To be distinct means to let God make us holy by not just purging us from our sin, but by adding activity that brings us to holiness. You know, every day, the lost world is pounding us with messages that are lies. Obedience to God is boring. Sin is exciting. Putting God first is enslaving. Living for yourself is freedom. God's truth is arcane. Your truth, my truth, that's the modern way to live. And the way that we have to defend ourselves, the way to holiness is to counter those lies constantly with God's truth. The world says, it's your life, follow your heart. Jesus says, you're not your own. You're bought with a price. Seek first the kingdom. Two natures beat within my breast. The one is foul, the one is blessed. The one I feed, the one I hate, but the one I feed will dominate. And so we must feed the Spirit of God within us with His Word daily, constantly. Not just once a day. I think maybe some people get the idea, if I would just read the Bible a little bit in the morning or at night, then that'll take care. I don't know about you, but for me to be holy, to be pure, I need a whole lot more than that. I need to read God's Word and I need to meditate on it constantly. And I need to come back to it. I need to pray on it. And I need to memorize it so that God's Word is constantly countering the wicked doctrines of this world. You see, in that way, I'm not making myself holy, but God and His Holy Spirit are changing the thinking of my mind.